I guess we can start it off with a collective, whoo, man, what a finish today with Appalachian State. East Carolina is shut out offensively in the second half. This was the tale of two different games. Pretty amazing all the way around. We're going to have Coach Holtz's post-game press conference coming up for you. And, of course, your phone calls at 561-8255. We'll have scores from other games from around the country that are going on right now. And, of course, we'll talk a lot about East Carolina. Again, the phone lines at 561-8255. Call in right now. Lines are open. You can be the first caller of the year on the Bud Light Pirate postgame score. East Carolina opens up with a 17-0 first half in this ball game, and then they get 10 more points in the second quarter. Appalachian State does finally get on the board late in the second quarter, and the score at halftime in this ball game was 27-7 East Carolina. And my prediction of a multi-touchdown blowout was looking good at that point. But somehow in the second half, they changed quarterbacks. They brought in a Travaris Cadet, the 6'1", 210-pound sophomore out of Miami. And all of a sudden, this ball game changed dramatically. Cadet turned the ball game around. He sliced and diced the East Carolina defense. And before you know it, East Carolina was back on its heels in this ball game toward the end of the game, and frankly, was lucky to hold on to win it. Jerry Moore's team from Appalachian State, obviously with great history and has had great success with the national championships over there in 1AA, comes into Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium this afternoon and makes a statement. Now, of course, their great starting quarterback, Armani Edwards, did not play. In fact, he had his jersey on. It looked like he didn't even have his shoulder pads on, so we're not surprised that he didn't get in the game based on everything we'd heard early in the week after 35 stitches after a lawn mowing accident about 5 weeks ago. So not surprising that he did not get in the game, but what was surprising is that they went to their third string quarterback before they got their offense rolling, and it'll be interesting to see. We'll have the stats for you coming up here in a couple of minutes, and we'll give you an opportunity to kind of analyze this one with us. Again, the phone lines are open, 561-8255, 561-8255. Henry Hinton here on the Bud Light Pirate postgame show. Denny O'Brien will be checking in from the stadium in just a couple of minutes. Again, we'll have Coach Holtz's press conference coming up for you from the Award Sports Medicine building on campus. And your phone calls at 561-8255. And while we're lining up a couple of calls that we hear coming in here, let's check some scores going on around the country. There are some games ongoing right now. Georgia Tech now leads Jacksonville State 31-13. That is now early in the fourth period. Baylor and Wake Forest are getting ready to start over in Winston-Salem this afternoon. Boston College has Northeastern down 38-0, and that ballgame is still before halftime. Middle Tennessee State and Clemson start at 6 o'clock. William Mary, Virginia at 6 o'clock. And let's see, I don't see any other games of interest. North Carolina and the Citadel will start at 6 o'clock. Let's go to the phones, take a couple of phone calls here on this East Carolina victory this afternoon over Appalachian State. 561-8255, 561-TALK. Karen, you get the prize. You're our first caller this year on the 20th edition. 20th year of the Bud Light postgame show. How you doing?
My first time.
Oh, well, good. Well, it's nice to hear from you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Winterville, North Carolina. I've been a Pirate fan for a long time, but I just had a baby this year, so we couldn't make it to the first game.
So did you watch on TV?
We did. And about Patrick Pinckney, what do you think about some of his missed throws and maybe putting Cadet? Let's put Cadet in some Pirate purple.
Yeah, Cadet was amazing, wasn't he?
Yeah,
that kid just all of a sudden went off today. Nobody really expected it. No one had heard of him before. All we heard was Armani Edwards and the second string guy who was McCray, and then Armani, this kid Travaris Cadet, who comes out of nowhere. He's a sophomore out of Miami. When do we play Appalachian again? I don't want to play that kid again.
No kidding. And I was wondering if we would get to see any more of Josh Jordan. I don't know if you saw him in the spring game.
I did see him, and, you know, I actually had commented to some people at halftime, hey, this is great, because it was 27-7. I said, we'll get to see Josh Jordan in the second half. And I think
that spring game.
Yeah, he really was. And I was thinking that Skip was probably going to get a chance to play a lot of guys and get some guys some reps today that ordinarily wouldn't get in the opening game. And I'm sorry that we didn't get to see Josh Jordan. But all in all, you know, I don't know. It was a tale of two stories, but it was two halves and two different teams, right? I mean, East Carolina couldn't do anything wrong in the first half. They couldn't do anything right in the second half. And then
yeah.
Appalachian State was almost exactly the same way for they were horrible in the first half and great in the second half.
I'm trying not to be too premature in my judgment, but some of those missed throws by Pinckney were a little disappointing. But
so you're down on Patrick Pinckney after the
I
watching.
I am. I'm sorry. I scared. My dog was scared. I was waking up the baby. It was like, oh yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully they'll get it together. But,
well, first game, you know, and it wasn't too much unlike Patrick's first game last year against Virginia Tech. But remember what he did in the second game. Patrick's best game of the year last year was the West Virginia game, without a doubt. And so maybe he'll get it together, and we'll have an opportunity to see, you know, after one game, we'll get him back in the saddle. I didn't think he had an awful game today. I didn't think he had a great game. I just, you know, it just seemed like there were so many other things going wrong around him.
Yeah, that's true.
In the second half.
What do you think Skip had to say to them after that half?
I don't know. We're going to hear from Skip in a couple of minutes. By the way, West Virginia had their problems today with Liberty. You may have seen that score. I think that was like 10-7 early in the ballgame. They finally won that one, but they gave up 20 points to Liberty today. And West Virginia defeated Liberty 33-20. And so East Carolina's opponent next week, West Virginia, is on the clock now, and they had their own problems today with a 1AA team with Liberty. All right, thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Hi,
hey, you
get my husband wanted to tell you congratulations on your grandbaby.
Oh, thank you very much. He came out to the tailgate party today.
Oh yeah.
He was wearing his pirate outfit at the tailgate party. His first of many tailgates.
Oh,
all right, thank you, Karen. 561-8255, 561-8255. Minnesota and Syracuse are tied going down to the last minute of the game. It is 20-20 now. Minnesota and Syracuse, that ball game tied. And we'll kind of keep you updated on that one. 561-8255, back to the phones here on the Bud Light Pirate postgame show. And Rob, good morning. Good afternoon, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Henry?
Good, hope you are.
Yeah, good pirate win.
Hey, man, never had a bad one.
Yeah, I got a little concerned about our defense and our overall stamina. It looked, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking into something else, but we had a lot of cramping going on out there today. And I know it's hot, and I know it's that time of the year, but I didn't notice a lot from the App State players.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I kept thinking, you know, I tell you, in the first quarter, our offensive line against their defensive line and our defensive line against their offensive line looked like child abuse.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we were gutting their holes and knocking them off the ball. And then, you know, I kept thinking, well, we'll wear them down and this will get ugly in the second half. But, boy, that's just not what happened. Appalachian State honestly looked very strong at the end of the game, and you're making a good point. C.J. Wilson, we're going to get Denny O'Brien to give us a injury report here in a couple of minutes. See, it was frightening to see C.J. Wilson go down in the first half, in the first game of the season, early in the second half, and then he came back and came out twice more. And I'm thinking that C.J. probably had cramps, but at one point it looked like he might have had an ankle injury, but I'm hoping it was just cramps. So.
Yeah.
Couple of the East Carolina guys were cramping up, but you're making a great point, Rob. The App State guys didn't look like that.
Yeah, I was totally surprised because the climate that, you know, we're in here and the climate they're in Boone, I even heard someone on TV, I don't know who it was, it might have been Billy, that mentioned that, you know, they've had a very mild summer there compared to.
Did we lose you, Rob?
Not here.
Okay.
Totally surprised that I saw that. That was really more surprising to me than the score.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know. Be interesting to hear what Coach Holtz. We'll have Coach Holtz's comments coming up here shortly from his press conference, post game press conference.
There
so be interesting to hear. And those of you watching on Cable 7, you'll get to watch that this year also. So stand by for that. Iowa has just defeated Northern Iowa, 17-16, by the way. Number 22, Iowa, a close win over Northern Iowa, 17-16. Let's see other scores coming in at this very moment. Well, there's not any other significant updates. Ohio State, boy, Ohio State struggling a little bit with Navy this afternoon. Ohio State barely, number six, Ohio State just slips by Navy 31-27. How about that one? 31-27. And Penn State over Akron 31-7. That game is over. And of course, let's see. Those are all the updates we have at the very moment. Kentucky over Miami of Ohio. And we mentioned that Boston College Northeastern score. That's 21-0 now at the half. 21-0 Boston College over Northeastern. That's a inner city rivalry there in the city of Boston this afternoon. And the West Virginia game 33-20. So those are the updates that we have. We Rob, anything else before we let you go?
That'll be it. Thank you for your time, Henry, and go Pride.
All right, thank you. 561-8255. 561-8255. Here on the Bud Light Pirate postgame score talk show, talking about an East Carolina win this afternoon, 29-24. Let's go to Ron, who is standing by. Ron?
Yes.
She was a close one at the end there.
I don't understand. My views are about like Rob's were. That is, I can't imagine our guys were that out of shape. I mean, we just were not playing well at all.
Yeah.
Defense was bad. Offense wasn't too bad. Just defense was out of shape, poorly constructed. Don't know what it was.
You know, Mike Golden does a great job with the strength and conditioning program here. And, you know, in years past, we have not seen that. It did turn out to be an unusually hot day. It turned out to be hotter, I think, than anybody anticipated. But be that as it may.
We've had lots of hot days in the spring and practice.
Yeah.
Well, we just, maybe because we figured we had the game in hand, it's like they were given a bunch of sleeping pills.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Ron.
Appreciate your taking call.
Yeah, 561-8255, 561-8255 now. Let's get a break in. We'll come back and update some scores. Also, we're waiting for Coach Holtz to address the media. We're going to give you live coverage of that, or coverage of that. We're going to tape it and run it back for you just in a moment or two. And so we'll hear what Skip Holtz has to say after the game here. And also, Denny O'Brien checking in live from Dowdy Picklin Stadium as well. And we'll get DOB's feelings about what's going on with East Carolina, and also an injury report, and to make sure C.J. Wilson and some of the other guys that went out of the game are okay. C.J. was the only guy that looked like he went out with anything serious at one point, and then he kept coming back, so it didn't look too serious either. This is the Bud Light Pirate postgame show. We'll take a break and come back. We're live on 94.3 WTIV, and we're live on Cable 7. When you get home, switch us on. We'll be right back.
Chicken
why are people talking about
him? Excuse me, sir.
For 28
like
years,
why are you smiling so much?
Chicken base making
yeah, so you too have one of these so-called
they're
Doug
so easy,
Henrys.
They're so good and so
about you, ma'am? What's all the excitement about?
I got my Doug Henry.
You too. Let's ask this fellow. Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
Always got something stirring up.
Oh, so you are Doug Henry. Tell me, sir, why are people talking about you? What is it you've done to create such a stir?
100%. People are flocking to Doug Henry in Tarboro, Farmville, and Goldsboro because we're always cheaper.
Everybody's talking about Doug Henry because Doug has the biggest inventory of new and used vehicles, and Doug's service department is known far and wide as the best. Save thousands with Doug Henry's 0% financing and rebates up to $4,500 on select vehicles in stock for 72 months.
So, Doug, tell me, is it your charm, your smile, or is it that you really are always cheaper?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, well, I think I've heard enough. I'm Ron Burgundy, and now I've got my Doug Henry.
It tastes like homemade. That's right. Ann's dumplings and chicken base taste like homemade. For 28 years, Ann's frozen flat dumplings and chicken base have been making good cooks great cooks. They're so easy, so good, and so economical. Get Ann's flat dumplings in your grocer's freezer and make dinner time family time. Ann's always got something stirring in the kitchen, and as consumers have become more health conscious, so has Ann. Ann's making 12-ounce 100% organic dumplings and also whole wheat dumplings. Ann has also created five new bases. Ann's natural chicken base, organic chicken base made with 70% organic chicken, natural beef base, natural ham base with no extra added MSG, and an organic vegetable base. All these items are available in some stores and online. For more information about Ann's Dumplings, her journey, her cookbook, and all the new products, visit the website at annsdumplings.com. It can't get any better when it tastes like homemade.
Eastern North Carolina has a new headquarters for Jeep. Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge in Greenville announces the arrival of Jeep. Now you'll find Chrysler Dodge and Jeep in one convenient location.
This is Chip Davis, sales manager at Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge and Jeep. You heard it right. Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge is now Eastern North Carolina's Jeep headquarters. We are ready to handle all Jeep warranty work, service, parts, and body shop.
Check out the new Jeep Commander, Compass, Liberty, and Patriot. And, of course, they're going to have a great selection of two of America's favorites, the Jeep Wrangler and the new Jeep Grand Cherokee. Plus, you'll find a great selection of pre-owned late model Jeeps. Eastern North Carolina's number one Chrysler Dodge dealer has just expanded, and they're proud to announce that Jeep is now here.
Visit us on the web at ecauto.com and come see us at Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge Jeep on the corner of Memorial Drive and Greenville Boulevard in Greenville.
Okay, we're back on the Bud Light Tire Postgame Show. Welcome back. It is 3:40 in the afternoon, and we are here live on 94.3 WTIB and on Cable 7, and we're taking your calls. Phone lines are open. In fact, our phones are starting off a little slow today. Maybe people are a little groggy from leaving a kind of an interesting finish to the ballgame today. 561-8255 is the number, 561-8255. East Carolina wins it, holds on to win it, 29-24. Appalachian State scored 17 points in the second half of this ballgame. East Carolina didn't score any. They got the safety. The defense got the safety, which was really kind of a bad snap on the punt, and the punter kicked it out of the back of the end zone. And those are the only 2 points East Carolina scores in the second half after opening up a 27-7 halftime lead in this game. So a lot to talk about in this game. Denny O'Brien coming up. Skip Holtz's press conference coming up. And your phone calls. Give us a call now. Lines are open. 561-8255. What were your thoughts about it? People are already talking about a couple of issues that seem to bother them this afternoon. In fact, that Appalachian State may have actually gotten stronger than East Carolina as the game went on a hot afternoon, a midday game. Did you feel that way? Did you feel that Patrick Pinckney was a little off today? Not as good as his opener last year with Virginia Tech. Some folks have already called in and said that. Call us and give us your thoughts at 561-8255. When you look down Appalachian State's schedule now, they have McNeese State next week, Samford, Citadel, North Carolina Central, Wofford, Georgia Southern, Furman, Chattanooga, Elon, Western Carolina. If this team hangs on and plays as well as they did in the second half today, I don't see anybody in 1AA that can beat them. What about you, Spencer?
Yeah, and it was Stoughton Wilson. I had my 73-year-old mother on that for a chair there at the end of the game.
Yeah.
What
do you think, man?
It was a close one. It was. I don't know. Like I said, I'm really concerned about the cramps. And, I, like you said, it was just warmer than everybody thought it was going to be. But I don't know. We didn't really do much of nothing in the second half, never really kind of concerned me.
Yeah, East Carolina's offense, I mean, we talked about it. They looked like a different team in the second half, but then again, so did Appalachian State. So, East Carolina came out every bit as strong as we thought they would. And then, I don't know what changed the complexion of the game. It looked like the change in quarterback for App State to Travaris Cadet was the change that really kind of gave them the catapult. What do you think about that? Didn't you feel that the momentum of the game really changed when they changed that to the third string quarterback? I think we may have lost Spencer. All right, we'll go on to the next call, 561-8255. 561-8255, and George is standing by. How you doing, George?
Henry, doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling fortunate that the Pirates won this afternoon. I tell you what, they poured it on the second half.
Well, I've always heard there's no such thing as an ugly win, but this one went. And the other thing I would say is that I thought the defense played a heck of a game, even though if you look at time of possession, I bet you in the second half, they must have been out there, you know, 20, how long, 20 minutes of the 30?
I don't know. I'm waiting I should have the full stats in hand in just a couple of minutes. I do not have them at this second.
You know, you put kids out there that long. I know that they seemed like they were, you know, we were falling apart a little bit more than their defense or their team. But they were out there an extraordinary amount of time.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I would say is I would have put Josh Jordan in the second quarter because Pinckney was not, or the second half, because Pinckney was not performing in the first half. I think the stats will prove that out too.
Yeah, you were disappointed in Patrick Pinckney today?
Definitely.
Yeah, interesting.
I bet you, if he had 50% completion rate, I'll be surprised. If he had yards,
I got to tell you, I was impressed with Appalachian State's athleticism, particularly on defense and in the secondary. We got some pretty slick receivers and a lot of quickness with our receivers.
Yeah.
And I was frankly a little bit stunned at how they were small, but they were quick. How good the Appalachian State secondary was.
Very quick, but I think the other flip side of that was that I think Patrick was holding the ball too long, and he's not that tall, and they were able to penetrate and knock quite a few balls down, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a matter of, you know, I think they were out quicker this in the second half, especially.
Yeah.
But in that first half, we had open guys that should have been hit. I know there was a couple long passes that should have been completed. I mean, you know, and we were very, very, very predictable.
Yeah.
You know, first and second down run, third down pass, second, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That defense, I mean, we were three and out probably four times in a row. How can you expect a defense not to cramp up if you're doing that song?
Well, they were on the field an awful long time in the second half, no doubt about that, and we saw those guys coming off. I kept worried about C.J. Wilson. He looked like, when he first went out, I thought, knee, oh no. Ankle, maybe, and then he came back in the next series, and so we assumed it was a cramp. We kept looking on the sideline to see if they were working on him, and it didn't look like they were working on him.
Yep.
So, you know, we assumed that he was just cramping up, and that was the problem.
Well, I think he was cramping up, and I think there was another defensive back cramped up.
Yeah.
But then I did see one guy, I think the transfer from Kentucky, he had his leg in cast.
He did?
I don't know if that yet.
Brandon Jackson?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I mean, hopefully it's just a sprain, but they had an air cast on it, and his pads were off. And then there was another, looked like a defensive back maybe, or even a runner, had his arm in a sling.
Huh.
So it'll be interesting to hear what that injury report is.
Well, we'll be getting it here shortly, so we'll let you know as soon as we got it. Thank you, George.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 561-8255, 561-8255. That is our phone number here. It's the Bud Light Pirate postgame show. Georgia has taken a 7-0 lead over Oklahoma State. That ball game is just underway. And it's a 7-0 in that one. A couple other games. We mentioned Georgia Tech has defeated Jacksonville State 37-10. And again, that Ohio State Navy game. Interesting one there. Ohio State holding on. A late Navy rally, falling short 31-7, 31-27 rather. The final score, Ohio State hanging on and just barely beating Navy this afternoon. Let's go back to the phones at 561-8255. And Rob, you're on the Bud Light Pirate post game. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Henry. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to tell you, even a win is a win, and I'm proud of the kids out there, offense and defense. And it appeared the second half, maybe the coach went to a more conservative play score and therefore less risk of losing the game. So I just want to tell you, I'm proud of what the kids did out there, and they did a fine job.
Were you at the game, Rob?
No, I watched it on television.
Watched on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was the TV coverage today, by the way?
I really enjoyed it. They had great coverage.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for the call.
All right, take care.
All right, we appreciate it. A lot of calls coming in now, 561-8255. East Carolina wins 29-24. East Carolina now has to get ready for a huge game next week in Morgantown, West Virginia, as the Pirates will be traveling up to take on West Virginia, who had their own problems today with Liberty. And, of course, after last year's game, the Mountaineers were waiting for the Pirates to get there, no doubt about it. Let's go back to the phone to John. How you doing, John?
I'm pretty good, yourself?
Good.
I guess I'll go along the lines with one of the earlier callers. It just looks like our offense is real predictable. I didn't see a whole lot of out of the passing game. It just looks like we don't have a passing game. And when we can't run the ball, we're just three and done.
Mm-hmm. You know, I kept thinking, every time Dwayne Harris touches the ball, you're kind of expecting something big to happen, but they never got him open in space today. And, again, I don't know whether that was problems that we were having or that they were sniffing it out, but I tell you, Appalachian State's secondary was right there on every pass. I mean, you didn't see any blown coverages. This is a well-coached football team, Appalachian State. I don't know what was going on early in the game. I think we just kind of shell-shocked them and blew them away, and they got in that big-time college atmosphere, which they don't see that often, although when you play in the big house and win, you know, you kind of come back and think, well, they're not going to be intimidated by anything, but I think Appalachian State was intimidated early in the ball game, and then they finally kind of got it together, and our crowd got a little quiet when the expectations were that the thing was over, and all of a sudden, boy, you look up at the scoreboard, and you still got a ball game going on.
Yeah, I tell you, I was watching the game from the house, and I was really sweating it. You know, it seems like we've done this a couple of the past years where we'll get up on a team. We did it to Kentucky last year, Boise State a year or so back. And, we just get up, and it just seems like that we just cannot keep teams down. They just keep coming back. It's like they figure out what we're going to do, and we continue to run on first and second, and then throw a bad pass on third.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that you improve the most from game one to game two every year, and we certainly did last year.
I sure hope
so. Skip will coach them up. They'll be ready to go next week.
Perfect.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
561-8255. 561-8255. Let's keep the calls rolling here. Again, Coach Holtz will be with us with his press conference here in a couple of minutes. We will also hear from Denny O'Brien and find out about some of these potential injuries we're hearing about. I did not see Brandon Jackson go out, so I'd love to hear if anybody else did. Let's go to David. David, you're on. How are you?
Hey, Henry. How you doing?
Good.
I think the tide in that game turned a little bit towards the end of the second half. I thought I was watching a John Thompson coach team there with all the timeouts being called, except we were on the winning end instead of the losing end. I think a lot of folks up in the stands were confused with those timeouts being called. I was wondering if you knew what was going on.
Now, are you talking about toward the very end of the game?
End of the first half when...
Right. Well, I think as it turned out, there was a punt coming, and, we went after the punt. I think that's what they were thinking. I think that they were trying to... the field we had, Appalachian State did not have field position. What were they on, about the minus 30, something like that?
But we were up 27-7 at the time. I think that was just a little bit of motivation to get the App State folks fired.
Your point is that served no purpose except to motivate the other team.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Interesting point, yeah. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. It's something to ponder. Thank you, David.
Okay.
561-8255. Let's go back to the phones. 561-TALK and Scott. How are you, Scott? You're on.
Hey, how you doing? I was just curious. We're up 27-7, and why are we throwing the football? It just seems like me. I mean, I love Holtz and all, but just curious coaching decisions in the second half with such a big lead. We had dominated them, up front in the first half. We got five running backs deep, and just curious why we didn't run the ball.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I got a text from a good friend of mine in the stands who kept texting me saying, run the ball, run the ball. I kept getting that text from somebody. So other people may have felt the same way you did. It was the first game. I mean, honestly, I don't want to answer that for Skip, but I will say that I think when you come out with a 27-7 lead, you're kind of, I certainly was surprised that Appalachian State was able to come back into that game. Maybe that's the wrong attitude, and maybe we all had that attitude, and perhaps the coaches were thinking, well, you know, we need to get some work doing some different things with the offense, and we'll throw the ball. I don't know. I'm proposing that as a theory. I do not know the answer to it, but maybe we'll hear Skip when we hear him here in a minute. We'll hear his response to that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. This is the Bud Light Pirate postgame show, and I think we're going to Jared. Jared, have I got your name right?
It's Gerard.
Gerard.
Yes, sir.
It's not like David Gerard, it's Gerard.
No.
Gerard. All right, very good. All right, Gerard, you're on. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think we got away from the running game. You know, it was the first game of the year, so I think we wanted to experiment a lot, just a little bit to see what he had as far as the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
That would make some sense.
Right. I mean, we were up 27-7 going into the second half, and so I think that the options were a little bit more expanded, and I don't think anybody could have seen Appalachian State coming back like they did in the second half, especially with the third-string quarterback. But I think the games will be worked out going into game two. We'll have a more definitive game plan as far as what we can do with the running game, and hopefully we won't have their defense out there with those. So they have. We didn't really sustain any drives.
No, we didn't. That was the worrisome thing. I mean, when we needed to churn up some clock, we weren't able to do that against the Appalachian State defense. So that's not going to make Coach Holtz happy, I don't think. And they got some work to do. I think, you know, you learn what you got in game one, and now we know that there are some issues and some things that will have to be worked out for sure as they move ahead next week to West Virginia.
Right, but I think we look, especially on offense and the running game and coming off the bus, I think we look really quick and crisp. So I look forward to the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not down on this team at all. I think people need to realize Appalachian State's pretty good football program.
Appalachian State, like, we saw what they did in the Big House a couple years ago. I mean, it's
yeah,
a big deal. You know, so this
no
is
doubt. No doubt.
Wasn't fluke by any stretch.
All right. Thank you. All right, let's see. We may have some stats finally here. 561-8255 is the telephone number. And the final score this afternoon, East Carolina defeating Appalachian State 29-24. Brandon Jackson, Dominic Lindsay, each one first-half touchdown. Big lead, of course, 27-7 at the end of the first half. And East Carolina holds on 29-24. Jackson sat out after transferring from Kentucky, but he scored on a 39-yard run on his first carry today. How about that? Less than 2 minutes into the game, Lindsay later scored on a 21-yard run to give the Pirates a 24-0 lead. But then the Mountaineers come back behind reserve quarterback Travaris Cadet, who directed 3 second-half scoring drives and got the ball back with a minute 28 left and a chance for the win. But Cadet took a costly sack after Appalachian State had nearly driven near midfield, and his fourth down pass fell incomplete to seal the Pirates' win with 16 seconds left to go in the game. And that's the story that's on ESPN.com right now. You know, the stats are coming in amazingly slow this afternoon. Normally, we get these stats immediately from ESPN. Not sure what's going on with that, but we'll have the team stats from the East Carolina University Media Relations Office coming up here in just a couple of seconds. I believe we got Clark holding. Let's go back to the phones now at 561-8255. Clark, you're on. How are you?
Hey, Henry. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Good victory.
Yeah.
Any victory is a good victory.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A couple of things that I hadn't heard the entire postgame report, but what I would say is I think we've got a deeper symptom. We have trouble playing with a lead. This goes back to last year. It goes back to the Kentucky game. It goes back to the NC State game. And I'm just concerned we get too complacent with a lead, and that's what happened again today. And so I think there's something that has to be awakened in that. And I believe it is a coaching issue. And we got to get these guys saying, look, no lead's safe. We know that as Pirate fans as long as we've been them.
Well, yeah, you're saying that we weren't opening it up enough. Somebody just called and said, why were we throwing the ball? Why weren't we running it in the second half? So, I mean, if you're a coach, you got to analyze that. I mean, coaches they'll go back and look at the tape and probably say, hey, what did we do wrong? What could we have done wrong? It sounds like what you're talking about is from more of an emotional level that East Carolina loses the lead after they get it.
it seems that way to me the last few games. You can just tell when it kind of turns and we just come out flat on the heels of a lead, normally a comfortable lead. I'm not talking about a close lead, but when we have a 27-7 or we've got a couple of or 17-point lead, it's a common thread, and hopefully we can get it turned around, and I'm pulling for them like everybody else is, but I want to address it, that's for sure.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll see if Coach Holt says anything about that in his press conference. That's coming up here in just a couple of minutes, so stay with us. We're going to have Skip Holtz on with us in just a couple of minutes here from his press conference. Syracuse, by the way, drops their opener to Minnesota. That game just ended in overtime. Minnesota has just defeated Syracuse 23-20 in overtime. And the first-year head coach up there, who is it? What is his name? Hang on a second. I'm trying to remember who they hired up there. You know, they offered a job to Skip Holtz. And I can't remember who they hired. Do you remember? Was not Greg Paul, but I wonder how much playing time Greg Paul has gotten that game today. Somebody call and tell me who Syracuse hired. I forgot. Chris Mossman, where are you when I need you? Our local Syracuse fan. Let's go back to the phones at 561-8255. And Jim, you're on the Pirate Post game. How are you?
Hey, good, Henry. Good. One comment. Everybody keeps saying a lot about the offense is not pulling it, but if you scored that many points, should that not win a game if the defense showed up?
Say that again. If you score that many points, what?
Shouldn't that hold up for most wins if the defense is pulling their part?
Well, it did.
Yeah.
It did. Barely, but it did.
Well, I'm saying the defense seems to me like they let the ball game almost get away from them.
Yeah.
That's
well, the defense. I think the problem with the defense, it looked to me like they were just on the field so long in the second half. I that's the only response I would have in defense of the defense. But I don't think Greg Hudson's going to be happy with the way his guys played down the stretch. But when the third string quarterback Cadet came in, I mean he was slicing and dicing the defense, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I think Greg will know he's got some things to address this week.
Yeah, I've just heard so much last year how the offense and this and that, but it seems like nobody's ever said anything about the defense not holding up their share.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Thanks, sir.
561-8255 is the Bud Light postgame show. We're going to have to get a break in. We'll get Earl in first, okay. And then when we come back, we'll probably be about at the point where we're going to have Earl. You there with us? We're going to try to get Skip Holtz on. Earl, turn your radio down if you would. We're on a 7-second delay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. How are you? Go ahead. You're on.
I just wondered if you guys think that we're going to try to play somebody else, the quarterback, this year. I'm not real happy with Pinckney's play today. I thought we could probably do a little bit better than that. And I just thought I'd get your comments on a second-string quarterback there.
Well, I don't know who the second stringer is. I guess it's Josh Jordan. I know Rob Cash took reps in the spring, and then Rob played in the first half. I didn't see Rob on the field much today, but I tell you, you talk about the play of Patrick Pinckney. There was one pass, the one pass thrown to Rob Cash could have been a touchdown pass had it been a well-thrown ball. I think Rob was in the game to do some blocking. They may have used him as a decoy. Out of the slot a little bit, out of the H-back position to do some blocking, and then they kind of pulled the string and moved him down under the secondary, and Patrick was to throw to him, and unfortunately he threw it to the dirt, he threw it to the ground. It was a bad pass, or if Cass catches that pass, he may score, because he was on about the 10-yard line. It looked to me like he would have an opportunity to get in the end zone. And he's a big enough boy to break at least one tackle, and he might have had one guy he would have had to beat to get in the end zone if he catches that pass. So I don't know. Josh Jordan is the second-string quarterback as far as I know. He hadn't been on the field yet. He's a redshirt freshman, and I saw him play in the spring game, and I was impressed with him, but I think things are a lot different when there's 43,000 fans in the stands. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested in hearing what Skip Holtz says about that.
Well, I thought it was interesting that we went back to the pass when we were up 29-7 in the third quarter. Why would we just keep running the ball and running the clock?
Don't know. That's you're bringing up the same thing a lot of other folks already have, and then We just had Clark calling in saying we didn't open it up enough, that, you know, we didn't play well with the lead, and we, you know, why were we sitting on the lead? So I don't know. I would have liked to have seen us churn up the clock a little more early in the third quarter. If Skip looks at the film, he may feel that way. He may feel differently about it. But at any rate, they hold on. But I think the losing the momentum and losing that big lead is going to be something that's not going to make Coach Hulse very happy.
Well, I know I'm just a country boy from Aiden, but I'm ready to see us slit somebody's throat early and keep hold on the lead.
I thought that was going to happen today, but it didn't. Good point. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Someone called in and said the new coach at Syracuse is Doug Maroney. I knew that, didn't you? Doug Maroney, former offensive lineman. See, no wonder I didn't know. Who is that? But he's the guy they hired at Syracuse, and he loses his opener today. Let's see. Georgia is now leading Oklahoma State 7-0. That is the only other update of any significant game going on right now. We're going to get a break in. Let's do that. We're coming back. It's our Bud Light Pirate postgame show. East Carolina wins at 29-24. We're still waiting for the DOB, Denny O'Brien, for his live postgame report and injury report from the stadium. Also, Skip Holtz press conference coming up probably within minutes here. So stand by for that. We'll be back with more here on 94.3 WTIB and Cable 7 on the Bud Light Pirate postgame. Are you making the right calls for your business in 2009? Our friend Daryl Harrison, the local Xerox authorized sales agent with Document Solutions East, is still helping folks with their business needs. Right, Daryl?
That's right. Xerox continues to help businesses make the right value call for copiers and printers in Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah, congratulations. We understand you've just become a platinum agency, which is recognized as one of the top groups in the Southeast for the customer service guarantee and performance results. And J.D. Powers has awarded the Xerox organization for superior support for the third consecutive year.
Xerox continues to provide great products at great prices, supported by great people.
And I know that becoming a platinum agency is one of the highest honors by Xerox. So congratulations, Daryl.
Thank you very much. We have a great team serving Eastern Carolina with Xerox.
Folks, the local Xerox team understands the right value call for your office solutions. Call Daryl Harrison, Document Solutions East, your local authorized Xerox sales agent at 321-7994.
Jimmy Football from Bud Light here, and I'm going to turn your next tailgate into an awesome gate. Because here at Bud Light, we're committed to maximizing your football enjoyment. How about a natural fake grass can koozie? We got them! Just go to tailgateapproved.com. And hey, what's missing from your tailgate party?
What?
Tail! Now with the Bud Light Tailgate Companion, your best friend can bring you everything you need for the party.
Now when I want ketchup on my dog, I just call my dog. Thanks, dog.
You're welcome, football fan. Just look for me wherever Bud Light is sold and go to tailgateapproved.com for unbelievable deals all season long. Could I make this up?
No.
Yes. Am I? No way. Because Bud Light is...
Tailgate
approved!
Tailgate approved items are available while supplies last at tailgateapproved.com. Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
You've heard about Springshire, the newest retirement community coming to Greenville. Springshire has just announced that reservations for lakeside units are in high demand. Lakeview and Nature Area apartments are nearly sold out. In fact, only one third floor and two first floor Lakeview apartments are left. This is great news. Springshire will be built in close proximity to Pitt County Memorial Hospital, adjacent to Ironwood Country Club. Springshire will include homes, villas, and apartments, complete health care, nature areas, gardens, movie theater, lake, and a short walk to the first tee. This is truly a new style in retirement living coming to Eastern Carolina. A social model community that will include residents in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Contact Springshire now for more information. Don't wait. There are only a limited number of premium Lakeview units left. Contact Ron Carnigan at 317-2303 or go to springshire.org for more information. Find out why everyone is saying Springshire is the place you want to be. Okay, we are back. All right. All right, we are back with our Bud Light Pirate postgame show. Smooth return. What do you think? few issues here. It's our first show this year, too. And it is the 20th year of the Bud Light Pirate Postgame Show, believe it or not. How about that? 20 years of doing this show. You would think they could find somebody else to do it by now. I got more gray hair. I'm fatter. East Carolina wins today 29-24. And now the Pirates have to regroup after a poor showing in the second half to get ready for West Virginia next week. We got more phone calls coming up, 561-8255. Also, Skip Holtz will be here in just a couple of minutes. A little delay in his press conference, so we'll be showing you his press conference on Cable 7. You'll be able to hear it on 94.3 here in just a couple of minutes. And we're waiting for Denny O'Brien to call. They may be running late over there. We'll see what's going on. Let's go back to the phones at 561-8255. Tom's been holding a long time. Tom, you're on. How are you?
Fine, Henry. How are you?
Doing good. Happy to win, man.
Happy to win.
Yeah.
Those of us that had to watch the game at the hospital today with no clock and no down marker or no yardage, WIPN did a lousy job.
Oh, they did?
They had live mic at halftime. We could hear what they were saying, what the pass down and everything. But the game, ECU needs to work on the run.
Are you in the hospital right now, Tom?
No, I was at the hospital visiting my wife.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's that Tom. I know who Tom is now.
Yes, I'm sitting here watching you smoking right now.
This is Blackbeard Tom.
You got it.
Blackbeard Tom. So you were not impressed with the coverage. I don't think WITN does their own production on these games. I think they have a production company come in. So just
fire them.
All right, we'll get Mossman to respond to that. So you were not you did not like the coverage. But look, here's the thing, Tom. For many, 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 many years, we did not have good TV coverage of East Carolina games in Greenville. So at least we've got good. At least we've got WITN covering the games now.
That was nice of them. I appreciated that from my position.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I hope your wife's doing okay.
She is.
Send her our love. All right, we'll see you. Blackbeard Tom, 561-8255. 561-8255. The best game of the day so far looks like it was Ohio State just barely beating Navy 31-7. Let's go back to the phones. Talk about East Carolina's victory over the Mounties this afternoon. Jay's on. How are you, Jay?
Hey, Henry. You may remember me from down in Mississippi when we were down at the Liberty Bowl. There was too many kids on the bus. Do you remember that?
How long ago was that?
That was, what, 95, 96?
I don't remember what I had for breakfast, Jay.
Well, you and I...
You're asking me about something that happened at the Liberty Bowl in 95? Well, what was the situation? We were on a bus?
We were over there in the casino.
Now, why'd you have to tell people that?
Because I had a really good time. I
vaguely remember that, if you know what I'm saying. All right.
Well,
so how you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call in and agree with the last caller before the previous one. I'm not really impressed still with Patrick Pinkney, and I'm just... I'm wondering, will somebody step up and just ask Skip Holtz and maybe see if there's still an option to, you know, move somebody in, you know, let them play some. Because I just really don't feel that Patrick Pinkney's going to be able to, take us to the next level. I don't think he throws the ball downfield far enough. He's a dump-off quarterback. And I just think we got to throw the ball downfield. And what is our option? I think Rob Cass still deserves a shot to come in and play.
Well, you know, it doesn't look like that is the plan. Now, you know, again, my understanding is that Cass does still take some reps at practice, but I think they have pretty much they've committed to moving Cass to that H-back tight end position, and I don't think you'll see Cass at quarterback this year. It could happen. I don't know, but... Might be a little bit too early, Jay, to throw Patrick under the bus, but I will say this. Patrick Pinkney has been a player throughout his career that has looked like a world beater some days and not looked very good others. And today was one of the latter, I think.
Yeah, I just think he manages the game okay from maybe the 30 to the 30. But once he gets inside the 30, there just seems to always be a lapse or a um, a bad decision or just a timidness that just can't get it done?
I don't know. Threw a nice touchdown pass today. And I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on him. I like Patrick Pinckney personally. I do understand people's frustration about him. Yeah. And he is a little up and down, but I think you got to stick with my personal feeling. If I were Skip Holtz, I'd stick with him now that I've chosen him as my quarterback and just work with him to make it work and make it better. You know, Patrick's going to have some good games this year, and he's going to have some games that aren't so good. We saw that last year.
Yeah.
Now I have high expectations for him this year. I've been saying that all preseason. I really thought that he would be the man. I was kind of thinking about the way Jeff Blake blossomed in his senior year, and he's about Jeff Blake's size, so he might even be a little smaller than Jeff. But he's I wouldn't give up on Patrick Pinckney yet.
Yeah, well, just a personal opinion. Anyway, you know what that is. So hey, Henry, always good to talk to you, man.
Thank you, Jay.
I'll see you at the next one.
All right, see you. See you on the casino bus, I guess.
All right.
561-8255. 561-8255. Notre Dame has just scored and jumped out to a 7-0 lead for Nevada. Charlie Weiss just went, thank you. All right, let's go to CJ. Sounds like he's already on there. CJ, this is not CJ Wilson, is it?
This is CJ Wilks, but I was getting a little confused while I was in the stadium today. Hearing CJ Wilson, I was unaware that you guys had a guy playing for you guys that was that close to me. To my name.
So,
I'm an Appalachian State fan, but listening to your radio
program. Oh, good. Well, it's nice to have you in town. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You guys got to be, I know you're not happy you didn't win, but you can't be too unhappy with the way your team played.
Oh, of course not. I was really excited about, especially coming out in the second half. You know, we always consider ourselves a second half team just because we can make adjustments. The coaching staff does a really good job making adjustments to what the opponents are doing. But yeah, I was really happy and excited to see how they did come back out firing, being down 27-7.
Yeah.
But as far as the momentum, I was listening to some of the comments, and the momentum shift, as far as the momentum shift and when it occurred, it had to have occurred whenever we brought in as far as cadets.
Yeah.
And the only reason I said it is because whenever, if you go back and look at the game early on, our offense was just putting ECU, in prime location, you know? I mean, I don't know.
It's true.
I don't think they were in their own territory at all in the first quarter.
No doubt East Carolina was winning. The East Carolina had the field position to their advantage in the first half, no doubt. And then, you know, a bunch of explosion plays early on, and I don't know, CJ, what that was all about, but, you know, Brandon Jackson touches the ball for the first time and, boom, scores. There a couple of things like that, and your guys got back on their heels. And again, you know, I think you're making a good point about field position. But, you know, I am so impressed with Appalachian State for not giving up, because they're down 27-7 at the half, and I'm thinking this game's over. But they clearly – I'm not sure what the spark was that made them think they could come back and win it. I agree with you. I think it was when Cadet came in the game. But, man, I'll tell you what, you guys I'm impressed. I think you're going to have a good year.
I think we're going to have an excellent year as long as we can stay healthy. You know, that's with every team, as long as we can stay healthy and keep going toward the goal. You know, and that goal is for us is a national championship. So.
Well, all of a sudden, Armani Edwards has a reason to get well quick, right? Or this guy's going to take his job.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen whenever have an All-American quarterback, Armani Edwards. But
you know, this guy's a sophomore. You got, hey, look, the good news is you got him for two more years after Armani's gone.
Yeah, that's true. He's looking a lot like Armani did Armani's freshman year as in the first game he's played. So that's definitely exciting from an Appalachian State fan point of view. But I do want to comment on the pass from Pinckney and going into the end zone. I'm not exactly sure. It was in the first quarter, but it was – I think it's the only passing touchdown that you guys had. Is that correct?
I'm still waiting on stats, but I think that's correct. Yes, actually, I just got the stats right that very second. So keep going, and I'll tell you.
Okay, I just wanted to comment on it. It was a beautiful pass. I had the angle on it, looking from where I was sitting, and he threw it to a spot. And the timing was absolutely right on point. So, I don't really think from a quarterback. Standpoint. I don't think ECU has anything to worry about. I think it's all the loose ends that need to be tied up just from first game of the year jitters that everybody has.
I guess so. Yeah, that was the only quarterback. That was the only a touchdown pass today from Pinckney. It was a 27-yard pass to Ryan.
Yeah.
And came at 4:31 to go in the first period. CJ, as an Appalachian State fan, let me ask you, had you been to Dowdy Ficklin before?
That was my first time.
Give me your impressions of the atmosphere and whether or not you were treated well, that kind of thing.
I was treated exceptionally well, and actually the getting in and getting out, traffic patterns, everything was actually a lot better than I was expecting. So I'm a country boy from a small town. I'm getting in the city, and I get around a lot of people. I get frustrated, and I was pleased. The way that turned out.
You're a country mountain boy?
Well, I'm not a mountain boy. I wasn't a mountain boy until I went to school, but I'm actually from just south of Winston-Salem in a little town called Midway, North Carolina.
Okay, I know where Midway is.
How do you know where Midway is?
I have some friends up that way.
Actually, I played soccer.
The great Freddie Kiger's not far from Midway.
Really, I played soccer with Ben Hartman, the kicker for ECU.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
That's neat.
Years.
I was happy to see Ben kick today. We didn't think he was going to kick, so he looked okay. He had a early 39 yard. Let's see, what was his field goal? He had a 25 yard field goal. He had a 26 yard field goal. So two field goals for Ben Hartman today. One more question. I'll let you go. You didn't really comment on the atmosphere. Don't you think we got a great atmosphere here?
I might not be the best person to ask. I do work in the sports marketing department at Appalachian State, and that's kind of what I want to do as a career. And I don't want to downplay the ECU atmosphere at all. But I feel like a game at the Rock in Boone, North Carolina has a much more exciting atmosphere than what I'm
really.
I would put it up against. Some of the best in the country.
I need to come over there and see one, man, if it's better than that, because I think our pregame's best I've seen it anywhere.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Southeastern Conference, better stuff.
I definitely enjoy myself, don't get me wrong. But,
You're a real Appalachian fan, CJ, I can tell. You're not objective about these things. I don't blame you. God bless you. You're a big fan, and, you know, you should be. Appalachian's got a great program, got a good thing going on. I'm going to let you go, okay? Nice talking to you. Thanks for calling in. Have a safe trip home. Be careful.
Thanks for having me.
All right, CJ, the Appalachian State fan. Let's John, hold the calls for just a second. Let's check a few stats. We finally have the stats here. Both teams had 18 first downs. East Carolina has 189 yards rushing. Appalachian State, 102. The Pirates have 131 yards passing. And Appalachian State has 144, so more yards passing for Appalachian State. They were 14 of 25, one interception. East Carolina, 12 of 27, two interceptions. So the number for Pinckney this afternoon, 12 of 27, 131 yards and two interceptions. Not that impressive. So, and that's probably why we're hearing a lot from folks. Total offensive yards, East Carolina, 320. Total offensive yards for Appalachian State, 246 yards. So those are the key stats today. East Carolina, third down conversions, only 6 of 14. App was 6 of 17. And the time of possession, who would have believed after watching that first half that Appalachian State would have dominated time of possession, but they did. Appalachian State, 33 minutes, 39 seconds, TOP, and East Carolina, 26 minutes, 21 seconds, time of possession. How about that? So again, Appalachian State, to be congratulated today. They made a nice run at it today, and if Appalachian State makes their third quarter field goal and doesn't get the safety, it's a tie ball game. That stat from our crack research staff, Philip Horn, who is here with us today. Good point. So if they make their third quarter field goal and they don't get the safety, the ball game ends in a tie in regulation. Come on, Philip. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be. But you're making a good point. I hear you. All right, let's see. Running the ball today. East Carolina's leading ground gainer, Dominique Lindsey. Great to see Dominique back for his senior year after being injured last year with the ACL. 111 yards today total. Had a six-yard loss, so a net. Today, a net total for Dominique Lindsey of 105 yards. Brandon Jackson, 5 carries, 46 total yards. Giovanni Ruffin did get 7 carries today, 16 yards. Jonathan Williams, in the game. 4 carries, 15 yards. Again, Patrick Pinckney's passing today. 12 of 27 for 131 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions today. And leading receivers for the Pirates, Dwayne Harris had 4 receptions for 37 yards. Darrell Freeney, 3 for 20. Jamar Bryant, 2 for 29. And Ryan Willis had 1 for 27, of course. So Willis also with the lone touchdown reception. Good day punting the ball for Matt Dodge. 5 punts today, 44-yard average. His long was 51. So good job today. Ben Hartman was 2 for 2 in field goals, had a 26-yarder and a 25-yarder. The rushing stats for Appalachian State, Devon Moore, their leading ground gainer today, 37 yards on 17 carries. Passing the ball, Travaris Cadet, 7-9, 55. DeAndre Presley, who was the starter today, and Armani Edwards absent, 7-15, 1 INT today, 89 yards. So not tremendously impressive stats, but nonetheless, an impressive effort in the second half for Appalachian State. All right. John, we got to get a break in. We're going to take our third break here. Again, coming up, Skip Holtz's press conference. Don't go away. You'll hear it here on 94.3, and if you're watching us on TV on Cable 7, we will continue with more of the Bud Light Pirate postgame show right after this.
The question today is why Ford? Why now? And the answer is simple. Hastings Ford has cars people actually want. But not just cars. Trucks, SUVs, crossovers, hybrids, it's all here. With more arriving every day. Cars like Fusion, Focus, and the all-new Taurus. SUVs like Escape, Escape Hybrid, and Explorer. Crossovers like Flex and Edge. And, of course, F-Series pickups. Hastings Ford has you covered. Visit us at the corner of 10th and Greenville Boulevard and drive one. Hastings Ford, your key to satisfaction.
Are you ready for some chicken? Huddle up around the Bojangles tailgate special. 8 pieces of perfectly seasoned chicken. 4 made from scratch biscuits. 2 picnic fixins. And a half gallon of Bojangles legendary iced tea. A tailgate feast for 4 for less than $4 per person. Now, you're ready for some chicken.
Down on the air, Bojangles.
At Bojangles, we serve breakfast all day. But that doesn't mean we serve frilly pastries and good-for-nothing muffins. We're in the business of filling people up with wholesome food that fuels them through the day. That's why, for a limited time, we're serving the Egg Bowl Biscuit, a hearty cut of Canadian bacon, egg, and cheese nestled in a made-from-scratch biscuit. But even though we serve breakfast all day, the Egg Bowl Biscuit is for a limited time only. So you still need to hurry into Bojangles.
Gotta need Bojangles.
Auburn AV is Eastern North Carolina's premier audio-visual provider. Auburn AV has the skill and experience to elevate your special event to the next level. They work with you to ensure your event goes off without hassle. With a focus on safety, reliability, and planning, your event is on time and on budget. Are you a professional event planner? Ask about their planner partner program. Call Auburn AV at 252-321-0471 and check them out online at auburnav.com. Do you have a friend working on a special event? Well, be sure to tell them about Auburn AV.
This is Henry Hinton, and I just want to say that we work with Auburn AV for our TalkFest event in the Convention Center, and we brought Laura Ingram into town, and they are unbelievable. I was blown away by their professionalism, and the staging and video they did for us for TalkFest was unbelievable. These guys are great.
Call Auburn AV at 252-321-0471 and check them out online at auburnav.com. Auburn AV, 321-0471.
Subscribe to the Daily Reflector and save. Receive huge discounts with sales and coupons. Cook at home with recipes found in Wednesday's Hot Dish. Discover free and cheap activities in the Daily Reflector's Friday Go Guide. Get all this delivered right to your door for 3 months for only $20. Call customer care 252-329-9505 or go online at reflector.com/subscribe and save.
All right, a lot of great calls here on the Bud Light Pirate postgame show. Henry Hinton back with you, and we are told that we're just minutes away now from Skip Holtz's press conference. So stand by, and we will air as much of that as seems feasible. So stand by for that. If you're with us on Cable 7, on television here. You will have an opportunity to see the press conference. If you're with us on radio, we will, of course, you'll be able to hear it. So stand by, and we'll see what Skip Holtz thinks about this game. And, you know, a lot of great calls this afternoon, people questioning whether it's a motivation issue, an execution issue. Did we let our guard down? Did Appalachian State just kind of find their mojo in the second half? What happened in that second half after East Carolina opened up a 27-7 lead and then was unable to score in the second half, except for that two-point safety that the defense was able to get on the bad end? That came on the bad snap on a punt. So, you know, it's a victory. It's an opening day victory. It was a great crowd. It was a great atmosphere. I'm sure Coach Holtz is going to have some concerns, and we will talk about that with Coach Holtz when his press conference rolls. We'll get to hear what he has to say here in just a couple of minutes, so stand by. It's coming right up. A couple more things to do here before we do that while we're waiting for Coach Holtz. 21-0 now. Notre Dame has opened up a lead over Nevada. Charlie Weiss getting that opening day mojo going. Penn State has just defeated Akron 31-7. And that is all we have right now. Let's take one more call. We think we're going to have Coach Holtz in just a second. So stand by. Let's go. Tommy's been waiting a long time. Tommy will stand by. We'll get you on, and then we'll hopefully we'll be ready with Coach Holtz. So Tommy, go ahead. You're on. I might have to cut in when they're ready. But Tommy, let's go. How are you?
Okay. I wanted to tell you what happened was number 13. But I tell you, he looked awful good from ASU. I mean, he really did. You know, the offense.
14 did not play. Who are you talking about?
I meant the quarterback.
You're talking number 7, Tavares Cadet.
Oh, well, the cadet.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it wrong then.
Right.
I mean, he looked good. He looked like the defense just couldn't really shut him down. I mean, and that's the whole thing, the defense. If the defense, you know, can't shut that offense down, and that's what happened, they got a start, you know, and they started in the second, and it went right on to the fourth. And the offensive line just ain't giving Peyton enough time.
Right. Right.
They got to give him enough time so he can get set to throw the ball. He's rushed too much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they got some things to work out, no doubt about it, and I'm sure they're going to try to get it worked out, Tommy.
But I'm a fire fan, I too.
Well, you know, hey, we won. East Carolina won. Don't forget that. Don't get too down in the mouth. It's a victory over a great program with Appalachian State and what they've accomplished. So, you know, it is what it is, and East Carolina's got to get ready now for West Virginia, and so we'll be hoping to hear from Coach Holtz here in a second, and we'll see what he has to say about that. Thank you, Tommy.
All right, have a good one.
All right, a couple of scores here. Georgia now leading Oklahoma State 7-0. San Jose and USC, Southern Cal just underway 3-0. That score just beginning the second quarter, 3-0. And that is San Jose State leading Southern Cal. Alabama and Virginia Tech tonight on ABC. That'll be some of your viewing for tonight. Texas and Louisiana Monroe. Later on today, North Carolina hosts the Citadel tonight. Again, Georgia leading Oklahoma State 7-0. Let's see if there are any other ACC scores while we're waiting on the Skip Holtz press conference here. Trying to get the scoreboard refreshed. And, okay. All right, I think we may have DOB coming up as well. Guys, are we okay? Are we ready to go with Coach Holtz? Ready to go? I'm getting the one minute cue here on that. Again, we mentioned Notre Dame has just opened up a 21-0 lead over Nevada. Okay, do we have time to take a call? Let's take Allison. Allison, we're still waiting on Coach Holtz, but if we have to cut in, I'll let you know. Go ahead, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I'm excited about a Pirate win.
Yeah.
But I'd like to talk about number 44. I thought he looked hot today. I thought he looked great for the defense.
You talking about Nick Johnson?
Yep, that's who I'm talking about.
I love Nick Johnson. He got a great interception in the first half. He plays full boat the whole way, and he's a lot of fun to watch, isn't he?
He is.
But you thought he looked hot.
I did. Well, hat on the field, you know, and hat in the uniform, too. You know, you never know. But, hey,
Allison,
he looked like he got some good energy
out there. It's a family program, Allison.
But, no, I'm excited about the Pirates. It was a little scary that second half, but I think we got a good team.
You're excited about it? You think we're going to be okay?
Where was Brandon Jackson in the second half?
I don't know. You know, what were his stats in the second half? You know, somebody said that he may have gotten hurt in the second half. And again, I don't know if we're going to be able to get if we're going to address that with DOB here in a few minutes or not. But still waiting for Denny O'Brien to give us the injury report. But someone said they saw him with a cast on his arm. And then one of our guys here said that they did not think that was him with a cast on his arm. So we'll find out.
Okay. And one more question. Why do you think we threw the ball so much in the second half?
I don't know. That's a good question. Why did we throw it? So you subscribe to the theory that we should have been putting it on the ground. We should have run the ball more.
Yeah, well, that's what was working for us.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I tend to agree with you a little bit. I think when Coach Holtz came out for the second half, I think that he probably was thinking what most other people were thinking, that with a 27-7 lead, that we were all good to go. And that he was going to try to open it up a little bit and let some of the other guys play and try to do some other things. We just kind of dominated and done everything we wanted to do in the first half. So my thinking is that that was what he was thinking. But then all of a sudden the mo changed and we found ourselves in a dogfight. And so I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear what he thinks about that and what he says about it.
And I'm glad we came out on top
of
that dogfight.
Thank you, Allison.
Good talking to you, Henry.
All right. Smith, where are we on the press conference? Are we good to go on that? What are we doing? I think I got Denny O'Brien holding. Anybody? I'm still waiting to get a cue. What's that? Okay, they're telling me to go to Denny. We're going to Denny O'Brien live at the stadium. DOB, we've been waiting for you. There's a lot of rumors floating around about injuries and things like that, and you always get the scoop. I know you probably have just come out of the locker room. What is the latest? Now, number one, was Brandon Jackson injured in this game? So there's some disagreement whether it was he or maybe Darnell Ballard who got hurt.
Well, no, Brandon Jackson did get hurt. He was playing with a hurt thumb, and that flared up again, so they put the brakes on him, and it became Dominique Lindsay and Giovanni Ruffin's game there in the backfield. But, yeah, Brandon Jackson was hurt, and that's why he didn't play much after the end of the first quarter.
And what's the status of C.J. Wilson? Was it cramps that C.J. was having, or did he have some sort of a ankle or knee injury? He kept coming back, but he kept going out injured.
No, it was all cramps with C.J. You know, my first thought when I saw him, it looked like a knee, the way he was holding it. And then the last time he went out there and ended up coming out, you could tell that it was cramps because his leg was locked and it was just stiff. And yeah, there were a number of guys who were hurt by cramps today. Dan Etheridge also struggled with cramps. Patrick Pinckney struggled with cramps. And as a matter of fact, this was a comment that one of the Appalachian State players made to another member of the media, that they just seemed like they were out of shape talking about these Carolina players.
Denny, hold on. I think we're going to Coach Holtz. Can you hold, and we'll come back to you after we hear from Coach.
Sure.
All right, let's go now. Skip Holtz, Reading with the press conference. Let's hit that, guys, and see if Coach is ready right now. All right, stand by. We're still trying to get our feed up. Good to go, Neil? Live radio and television. First game blues. All right, there we go.
Don't break. Situation. Didn't want to give them anything cheap, wanted to make them earn everything they got, and I thought they did a nice job. But I was just offensively in the second half, that might be as ugly as it gets. What I saw in the second half from an offensive standpoint, I did not think it was very impressive. We struggled. We had a penalty there on a hold there, I think, to start the third quarter, and we're behind the chains and couldn't make it. I think we got to look at some hard things offensively. Proud of the way they played half, going to halftime. Proud of what your offense has done. Some things we got to clean up. Proud of what the defense has done, other than one big play. But the second half, we got to go put a complete game today together. Today we certainly didn't do that today. So we'll have to sit down and evaluate it. Probably have them right where we want them at this point. They know we have a long way to go. They know we've got to get an awful lot better. And if the adage is true that you improve more from first to second game, then I think we have a chance to be pretty good.
But this is Skip Holtz again. We're having trouble with the video feed, but we've got the audio feed.
players were saying they thought that you guys looked tired, maybe out of shape. Do you agree?
Yeah, we had some cramping issues on defense. We didn't have any. We didn't have any on offense. But yeah, I should certainly see if someone would say that with the cramping issues that we have. I don't know how you prepare for cramping issues. I mean, because we've run more in this camp than we have any other camp that I've had. Because we've looked hard at the way the NCAA has changed the rules, where you've not gone twice a day as much as you used to. We've started running more during camp. But no, we did get to the peak out there a little bit. But I think there's such a big drop off between our ones and our twos. I think coaches are very hesitant to put some of the twos in the game as well.
Coach, if you get away from Rudy, that's just running me another
half. Well, again, like I said, third quarter, their first play to run is a hand sweep to Dwayne Harris around the edge, and he goes for about 10 yards, and we're holding. Now you're in second and 10. Well, you're away from that. You're away from that situation right away. I think they started loading the box and running guys downhill. I don't think we adjusted to it very well from an offensive standpoint when they started rolling their safeties down inside. They made some adjustments as far as, I don't want to get technical, but they slid their tackle over and they brought the end down and the other linebacker up. And they started trying to take away some of our power run game, and I don't think we adjusted very well to it.
Would it be in a situation where the first half things came so easy, maybe, you know, you look at it 24-0 and you think, okay, next week, and all of a sudden, you know, dogfight?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly when you can't make any first downs in the third, fourth quarter, you're going to be in a dogfight because your defense is going to be on the field an awful long time. And not being able to turn and get something going from an offensive standpoint and get in it and find the rhythm, I don't think Pat was near as efficient as he has been today. You know, we overthrew, I think we threw four deep balls, I think three of them we never had a shot at. You know, three of them we don't even get our hands on. The one we do, we can't come up and make the play. So, I mean, I don't think we were very efficient in the passing game. But if you can't make first downs and you're relying on your defense to win all the games, you're going to be in trouble.
In terms of rotation of backs, is that kind of how you expected to go? You knew coming in you had an awful lot of guys back there. Giovanni got involved a little bit. Dominique obviously got involved seemingly a little bit more than the other guys. But is that kind of how you anticipated going as far as the rotation?
Dominique, Brandon, we're going to carry the bulk of it. Dominique and Brandon, we're going to carry the bulk of it going into it. Dominique hurt his shoulder a little bit. Brandon's thumb flared up a little bit. And then so we started to turn and play a little bit more with Giovanni and Ruffin and John Williams.
The CJ, did it just cramp?
Cramped. He'd just be cramped, and he kept trying to go back in, but he started cramping. Vance never cramped in his life, you know. I mean, he started cramping. We had a number of guys that were having some hydration issues.
That really seemed to change the momentum of the game when he came in. I guess talk about the difference between him and Presley and the difficulty in trying to stop him.
The problem is they spread you out. They spread you out. You have to defend the field, and then they ran the quarterback. I think they ran almost. They ran two different offenses. You know, they asked Presley maybe to throw the ball more and do some of those things, and we had a little bit more success rushing the pass and keeping them in the hole. With Cadet, they started running him more, and that's what gives you problems. When you can run your quarterback like that, it's like having 12. It's like a 12-man offense because you have a two-back power running game and you have a four-wide offense. So it gives you some logistical number problems with what they do. We knew it was athletic. We knew coming in here that they could both turn and do some things running the ball. But he came in and ran hard. He made some people miss. Then we lost Levin Neal on the opening kickoff at safety. And then Emmanuel Davis went out the second series with a shoulder. I think it was the second or third series with a shoulder. And all of a sudden, where you did have a little bit of depth, guys were playing every snap. And so we returned them. We kind of went to a zone principle. Don't give up a big play. If they're going to get back in it, make it earn it. But don't give them anything cheap. And defensively, we really didn't do that. On who? At this point, I don't know. They did x-rays. It was an ankle. I don't know if it's...
Who was that?
An ankle. I don't know at this point. I just know he was out. Emmanuel Davis was a shoulder. And he was out.
Talk about the pressure of being the favorite in this game and also playing, you know, an FCS team and being an in-state team.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I would say that maybe those type of things would have had an effect if we would have played poor in the first half and better in the second. But we came out. I thought we were focused. I thought we were into it. I thought they came out and played hard. And really, I thought we were doing some pretty good things. the key to this to me was in the second half as an offense, we didn't adjust to some of the changes they made. That is what I think, you know, the key is. All of a sudden, we run the off-tackle power play and the safety's 1 yard deep in our backfield. You know, when we're still trying to run, they made some great adjustments. They made some great halftime adjustments, and I don't think we adjusted very well. I mean, so I don't think it was about pressure or trying to protect something or an FCS team or an in-state rival. I think this game came down to offensively, we couldn't turn and make first downs in the second half and control the ball like we did in the first half. But I thought they came into it, charged up, fired up, ready to play. I don't think there's any overlooking anybody or getting ready for next week or any of that. I just think that was the key to the game. They made some good halftime adjustments to stop what we were doing to run the ball in the first half and hurt them.
Skip, did you think you were confused
either? Wow, man. Patrick's always been pretty even keeled. I don't think he threw the ball as well as he had. Or has been during camp, and I don't think he's as good as he's going to have to be. You know, I got really upset. I mean, we take a delay game in the first play of the game. I mean, I'm sorry, that's us. That's coaching. You know, that's on us. That's on us as coaches. You know, you jump off sides and those things, all we do is tell them the snap count. But to go out there in the first play of the game, first play of the season, I don't know if we had a delay game penalty all last year. When we go out there, I don't know if we're confused. I don't know, but obviously there's a problem there. But I don't think Patrick played one of his better games today.
If you watched the Appalachian thing from afar, what are your impressions of him now? You prepared for him and stand
him today? You knew they were going to play hard. I think they're a physical bunch. I've said that before. You know, I think they're a physical group. They play hard. I think Coach Moore's got a really good program. He's done a great job with that team. I think they're a good football team. And they do the things that they have to do in order to be competitive. I mean, what they do with that offense and putting the athletic quarterback there and spreading out, they're difficult to defend. I think their defense played very hard. I don't think we threw the ball very well. I think there were some big plays to be had in the passing game if we could have hit them, but you can't hit them. They did exactly what they should have done. Load the box and say, beat me throwing it. We couldn't do it today. They've done a great job. I have great respect for Coach Moore.
So, do you feel if Edwards would have played, they might have differently?
No, I don't. I mean, I thought Cadet ran the ball very efficiently. I don't. I think Armani Edwards is a really good player.
Will you go home satisfied with a win, or will you kick the cat a little bit?
No, you only got 12 of these. You can't enjoy a win. I mean, you know what? Now, bottom line is you're trying to win a football game. It's 1-0. I wish we would have played better. Yes. Do we have a long way to go? Yes. Will my temperament in this game tomorrow, in this team meeting room tomorrow, be positive, upbeat, and chuckle as a clown? No. It will not be. I can tell you, I may kick the cat tomorrow, but tonight I'm not going to. That's the object of what you're trying to do. You know, a one-point loss is a loss. A one-point win is a win. There's no doubt. It says be careful what you wish for. Sometimes you might get it. And I told the staff, I said, if we could have a one-point win, it probably might be the best thing to happen to this football team. Well, be careful what you wish for. Sometimes you might get it.
Let's talk about.
Okay, there is Skip Holtz and his press conference. Again, we apologize for the audio feed. They were having some troubles with the audio over there. But Coach Holtz saying be careful what you wish for, because he said earlier in the week to his coaching staff that the best thing that might happen to this team was to get a one-point win. Coach Holtz also saying we have a long way to go and that he will not be Chuckles the Clown in practice tomorrow. But he's going to enjoy the victory tonight, because a one-point win is a one-point win. And in this case, he got a five-point win. With regard to Patrick Pinckney, if you missed that, he said that Patrick was, quote, not as good as he has to be, and not very efficient today. With regard to how the tide turned in the second half, he talked about the fact that when they brought in the second quarterback, Travaris Cadet, that they spread them out, they spread our defense out, and were able to run the ball with the quarterback. And then he's talked about how East Carolina could not get a first down and control the ball in the second half the way they did in the first half. And obviously Coach Moore and the Appalachian State coaches made good halftime adjustments to stop East Carolina from running the ball. With regard to injuries, C.J. Wilson, as it turns out, as DOB just reported, it was cramps. Levin Neal, he said, is going to be x-rayed and has an ankle problem. He doesn't know if it's broken or not. And Emmanuel Davis goes out of this game and has a shoulder injury. Is Denny O'Brien still with us? Denny, John, we still got Denny there? Denny, are you still with us on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here, Henry.
Now, you've been waiting that whole time. I apologize, but we wanted to get Coach Holtz as quickly as we could there. You know, I listened to Coach Holtz's comments there, and I know you were in the room when he made those comments. You know, it's almost like he is not that surprised at how well Appalachian State played in the game, but maybe a little surprised that they were able to make those kind of adjustments and shut East Carolina down in the second half. I think if Appalachian had come out and played tough to begin with, he wouldn't have been a shock, but obviously a little frustrated with Pinckney and frustrated that his team couldn't get first downs in the second half.
You know, he said in his press conference that he wouldn't go home tonight and kick the cat. I think he's already kicked it five times, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If he's seen a cat, he's kicked it.
Yeah.
I tell you, that was, I said from the get-go.
Well, Skip has a unique ability to be very positive in his press conferences, even though things he may not feel so, he'll really feel that way.
Oh, I mean, he said the things he needed to say. I thought he handled it first class and very complimentary of Appalachian State. You saw in the first quarter just the physical mismatch that this game was.
Yeah.
And if you know, I talked to, you know, Ren Willis, Rob Cass, Patrick Pinckney, Van Estridge, and they all said, yes, we lost a little bit of our focus. We got complacent. You cannot do that. If this team is good,
you kind of hate to hear them say that, but that's what it looked like, though.
They said it, then they kind of backtracked a little bit, but it was obvious from what those guys said. You know, when they went in that locker room, most of those players thought that they had this game won. It turns out they did, but not the way that you really didn't think the scenario that you would need a big-time Matt Dodge punt to win this game. Matt Dodge was as key to this game as anybody else on that field
today.
That's
a great point.
If he doesn't hit whatever that was, a 47 or 48-yard punt, not only that, two punts inside the 10-yard line, which were key into getting East Carolina a good field position early in the game. Matt Dodge might have been the MVP of that game, and it should not have come down to that. The Pirates, by far the most physical team out there. But who knows, maybe guys like Brandon Jackson going out played a huge impact in what they were able to do. Another key thing, 109 yards in penalties. I think that put them in a hole and really took them out of rhythm offensively, Kay.
Denny O'Brien from Bozeville.net on the telephone with us. What is your view of the Pinckney situation? We've had a lot of phone calls today, a lot of people frustrated that he is not getting it done back there. We saw Patrick last year up. We saw him down. Again, he starts off the season a little down today. He was not as sharp as we would have liked to have seen Patrick Pinckney starting his senior year quarterback, a sixth-year senior, we might add.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I don't understand why people are as surprised as they are. I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't play against a team like Appalachian State. This should not have been a 5-point victory. East Carolina should have won this game easily, and Patrick should have played a whole lot better. But kind of the tale of the tape of Patrick Pinckney's career at East Carolina has been inconsistency. He's a great leader. He always plays with poise, but he is inconsistent with the way that he throws the football. He's had games like North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and West Virginia, and then he's also had games like he had against UAB last year, Southern Miss, and like what we saw against Appalachian State this afternoon. That's kind of how Patrick Pinckney is. You know, he's not going to be the quarterback on most days that goes out and wins the game for you. But he is going to be the guy who can manage the game for you and occasionally have that outburst like he did against North Carolina, like he did against UTEP last year, but that's not going to be the normal Patrick Pinckney that we should expect. This team, as I said all along, is going to be a team that's going to have to be successful running it between the tackles. And if they are, then we'll see success of him throwing the ball. That happened in the first half. You notice that last touchdown drive that they had was Patrick throwing the ball a lot because they had success running the football. They didn't have success running the football in the second half, and he couldn't throw as a result.
Denny O'Brien again with us on the telephone this afternoon. What's the biggest thing East Carolina's got to do now to get ready for West Virginia? They had their own problems today with Liberty.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they've got to play with much more focus for 60 minutes. You know, Van Etheridge made the point, you know, after the game to me, is that, you know, these guys have got to realize that this game is not a 30-minute game, it's a 60-minute game. And they've got to iron out some of the things like penalties. You just expect that those things will improve next week. But again, this is one of those defenses that they play. It's that 3-3-5. It's not going to be a big defense, probably be a fast defense. They're going to have to take advantage early in the game, running the ball between the tackles, but then after that, Patrick Tinkey has got to find a way to get it going. We don't have the excuse this year, right now, that there aren't weapons out there. Dwayne Harris is there, who seemed underutilized to me today. Jamar Bryan is there.
You know, I was saying they were never able to get Dwayne Harris the ball in space, you know?
Well, that's true. And you got Jamar Bryan. I mean, Red Willis was their most dynamic receiver today. You know, they hit him on that little 26-yard post pattern for the touchdown.
Right.
So, yeah, they didn't get the ball in their playmaker's hands. They got it to Dwayne that one time on the end around, but he had a holding call that pulled it back. But it was just really sloppy offensively, wasn't crisp. They've got to find a way to turn that around. And a lot of that, I think, does hinge on Patrick Feeney. He didn't play well today, and that's that starts in his
right
that he did not play well.
All right, D.O.B., any other insight from your discussion with the players or coaches or anything else you'd like to say? We'll move on. Your last comments, what are your final thoughts here today after this victory?
Well, even though it was a win, but it wasn't a win for East Carolina in the grand scheme of things, I think this is a game that could help them down the road. I think it shows that this can grab the players' attention, that they're not indestructible, they're not bulletproof, they're not bound to the BCS. They need to go out and just concentrate and work hard and do the things that they can do well, which is play good, bend, don't break defense, and run the ball between the tackles. They're in for the fight of their life next weekend in Morgantown, and I know a lot of people had high expectations, but you have to remember, this is a school that has never won up in Morgantown. There's a first time for everything, and I think this coaching staff can get it done. But this Mountaineer team is not as good as it was last year, but the Pirates still have a long way to go if they're going to beat West Virginia next week.
All right, Denny, thanks a lot. We'll be reading your comments all week on Bonesville.net, and we'll look forward to your wrap-up of the game on the website tomorrow on Bonesville.net. Denny O'Brien, thank you, D.O.B.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, talk to you later. One update, score out of the ACC this afternoon. Opening day, first game for new head coach Frank Spaziani at Boston College after taking over for Jeff Jagosinski in BC with a big win today, 54-0 over 1AA Northeastern. I still say 1AA because I don't remember the divisions. It's 1AA. So Boston College 54, Northeastern nothing today. Let's go to break. When we come back a little while longer with a few more phone calls, if you want to get in, this will be last call on the phone calls. We've heard from Coach Holtz and DOB. What are your comments? 561-8255, 561-8255. It's the Bud Light post-game show. We'll be right back.
Man, that's the coldest draft beer I've ever had.
The secret is out. Otavola Market Cafe has invested in a top-of-the-line cooling system to serve the coldest draft beer in town. With Greenville's coldest beer and a wide variety of specialty pizzas, Otavola Market Cafe is the place to eat. Conveniently located on Red Banks Road in the Food Line Shopping Center, stop by for an ice-cold draft beer, freshly made lasagna, manicotti or baked ziti, plus soup, salads, and sandwiches. Otavola Market Cafe, Red Banks Road.
Mom, I'm starving. What's for dinner?
Mom, what's for dinner?
When is dinner going to be ready?
Sound familiar? Well, on your way home from work, stop by Otavola Market Cafe on Red Banks Road beside the Food Line to pick up a prepared family-sized tray of lasagna, chicken parmesan, baked ziti, or baked spaghetti to pop in your oven. It's easy, it's delicious, and it's affordable. Tell the kids to relax. Dinner's on the way from Otavola Market Cafe.
Yay!
You get coming through our door. You're not just a customer, you're so much more. Gonna treat you like family, gonna do our part. Cause the Bobby Murray family's got a lot of heart. The heart of Rocky Mountain feeds at Bobby Murray.
It's
all at Bobby Murray Toyota.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Over 25 years of dedicated service to Eastern North Carolina.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Toyota quality products.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Certified used cars with 160-point inspection and 100,000-mile warranty.
Bobby Murray Toyota. Lowest prices, lowest payment.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Rates as low as 0%.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Cash back to you.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Ace certified technician.
Bobby Murray Toyota.
Free loaner vehicle. Come get it all at the heart of Rocky Mount, Bobby Murray Toyota.
The heart of Rocky Mount beats at Bobby Murray.
Taco Bell is introducing an exciting new offer for Pirate fans this year. On every Pirate football Saturday, all beef tacos are half price at Taco Bell. That's right, fans. Pirate football and half price tacos all day long. Now that's a winning combination. Visit Taco Bell with three locations in Greenville, Memorial Drive across from the hospital, Highway 11 next to Pitt Community College, and on the corner of Greenville and Arlington Boulevard. Don't forget, half price tacos every Pirate football game day at Taco Bell.
ESPN360.com, your online home for more live sports than ever before. Experience total control with the ability to pause, rewind, and fast forward. It's TV quality picture with the power of choice. Watch more than 3,000 live events. ESPN360.com. Sign up today.
Great news, exclusive to Suddenlink, ESPN360.com is now free to Suddenlink Internet subscribers. Visit Suddenlink.net, another way Suddenlink just keeps getting better.
Okay, we're back on the Bud Light Pirate postgame show, and last call if you want to get in at 561-8255 to the final minutes of the show. If you want to, if you've got a comment you'd like to make, thanks to all of the calls we've had this afternoon on our first show, 561-8255. If you're dialing from your home phone, it's 561-TALK. And it is nice to be back for our 20th year on the Bud Light postgame show. If you missed our pregame today, our Pirate pregame show was done today live on the road at Bojangles. We'll be on the road every week at some point, so we're looking forward to a great season of East Carolina football again, and a season beginning 29-24 victory today over Appalachian State. The attendance today was 43,279. ECU extended its streak without being shut out to 141 games. The Pirates' 20-point halftime lead over the Mountaineers was the biggest non-conference regular season intermission margin in the Skip Holtz era. Excuse me. Surpassing a 17-point lead that was held on Virginia at halftime on October 7th, 2006. ECU had four receivers with a reception of 10 yards or more today. Bryant, Freeney, Harrison, Willis, and the Pirates recorded 11 total TFLs in the game. Total first downs. Is that what it is? What's a TFL, Neil? Tackle for loss. Thank you. Who we got on the phone?
This is Brian from Carter.
Brian. Hey, Brian. How are you? Tackle for loss. You thank you. Appreciate you bailing me out on that.
Helping you out a little bit.
Yeah. How you doing, Brian? Go ahead.
Good. I had one quick question. Actually, I had a question and a comment. First thing is, did you get a score on that Ohio State-Navy game?
31-27 Ohio State.
That's a final?
That is a final. Great, okay. Great game today.
Yeah, absolutely. Second thing is, you think Josh Jordan's get an opportunity to maybe get some playing time?
Well, that's been the question of the afternoon. Are you? Did you have a frustrating afternoon watching Patrick Pinckney? Is that your point?
Absolutely. He just was not doing a lot with the offense. Kind of erratic. Didn't do much.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least an opportunity.
Listening to Coach Holtz's comments, his exact quotes were that Patrick was not as efficient as he needs to be, and he was not as good as he has to be. So those were the comments by Skip Holtz this afternoon with Patrick Pinckney. I think he agrees with you. Now, whether or not Josh Jordan is going to be the guy to push Pat Pinckney this year, I'm not sure. He's a redshirt freshman. He looked pretty good in the spring game. But, you know, it's a lot different when you get into real game speed situation. So I don't know. We'll see.
You think Skip will actually give him an opportunity to play, or –
Well, I think you might have seen him play some today if things hadn't gone awry in the third quarter. I was thinking that maybe we'd see Josh Jordan in this game. which would have been a good experience for the young man, but didn't work out that way with Appalachian State and the momentum coming in the other direction. So who knows? I did watch him in the spring game. He was impressive, but again, I say too early to give up on Patrick Pinckney. I think Patrick Pinckney has proven that he can he has flashes of brilliance, and then he has flashes of not being too brilliant. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Next week's a big game. He had his best game of the year last year against West Virginia. Maybe he'll put it together this week.
Sounds good. Thanks for your call.
All right, thank you. All right. Where are we going, John? All right, we're going to call it a show is what we're going to do. We're going to give a rundown on a few more of the scores that we've got here and give you the very latest we have on scores, and then we're going to turn you back over on radio to Sporting News Radio for more college football coverage from around the country this afternoon. Here's the very latest out of the top 25. Number four, USC. Southern Cal now leading San Jose State 21-3. San Jose State had jumped out to 3-0 in that game. Georgia and Oklahoma State tied at 7. Oklahoma State number 9 this week. Georgia opens as number 13. That game is tied at 7. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish have now opened a 28-0 lead over Nevada. That ball game is at halftime. That is the only action underway at this very moment in the top 25. A couple of games, four games from teams in the top 25 concluded this afternoon. We mentioned that Ohio State Navy game. Ohio State holds on to win 31-27. Navy was driving when that ball game finished, but the Navy rally fell short. Number 9 Penn State defeated Akron this afternoon 31-7. Number 22 Iowa barely defeats Northern Iowa 17-16 was the final on that one. And number 15, Georgia Tech, defeats Jacksonville State this afternoon by a final of 37-17. A lot of thank yous. We have a great crew that works hard on game day, and we appreciate it every year. A bunch of guys do a lot of stuff to bring you some of the coverage that we bring you, and we think we have the best coverage pregame, postgame of East Carolina anywhere. And we need to thank everybody, including our crew here in the station today. We've got Neil Carr, who is our director today. And we also have John Creech, who's been producing for radio today. Also, Michael Buscemi, our production director. Special thanks to our production assistants today, Smith Hardy and Justin Davis. And, of course, Denny O'Brien and Patrick Johnson. Am I forgetting anybody? I think that's it. We had a huge crew. And that is it for the Bud Light postgame show. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend. Pirates winning today 29-24. Our pregame show next week at 12:30, the Pirate pregame show, as we get ready for West Virginia. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next time on the Bud Light postgame show.
It's 1-800-506-6821. Call now, 1-800-506-6821.
September 5th, 2009. The day is finally here. The day for patience. Cue up the band. Tub up the tailgate. Let's go.
This is football, chump. All you gotta do when a man gets the ball is tackle him. Get it? The man with the ball. Hang him down.
Welcome to Sports Saturday with Bob Berger and Joe McDonald on Sporting News Radio.
Kicking off the college football season.
All the highlights, all the scores.
The latest on your college football Saturday.
Plus, Bob and Joe try to figure out if Charleston Southern can score at all. A few hours in the swamp at Gainesville against the number one team in the country.
Plus, we got you covered with the latest MLB news and notes and NFL news with kickoff only days away.